Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. You can watch it and follow us on Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and you can join us there. I'm Tim with Walker and Ray. Ray Pritchard with us from Kansas City. We are in our studios here in Tupelo, MS. We thank you for joining us. Steve Jordahl sits in now for Fred Jackson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. We actually literally tagged on the way out.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's not official unless we do that.
Hey, it's not a tag team,
right? That's right.
Tag team. By the way, the president, I guess, just arrived in Colorado.
Yeah, he did, Colorado Springs. My home in Colorado Springs was on the flight path to Peterson Air Force Base and the Colorado Springs Airport. They share an airfield. And a couple times I saw Air Force One fly right over my house.
No kidding.
Oh, it's a neat thing.
Back it's in the cool. in 10 years ago or so? When was this?
Well, I moved here 3.5 years ago, so up until 3.5 years ago.
Saw Air Force One.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Steve. Get us started. By the way, Franklin Graham will be on with us in 10 minutes.
Yeah, looking forward to that. It has happened again, Tim, this time at the college level. A man named Craig Telfer has won the Division II women's 400-meter hurdles Saturday night, and he won it by more than a second. He is he's trying to be, or he's claiming to be a woman named Cece. He has won this thing. And I thought it was interesting. I'd love to hear what you think about this, one of you, any of the three of you, I guess.
Do you really?
I really do. I do.
You asked for it.
OutSports, which is a pro-LGBT sports website, was boasting about the fact that Telfer is a trans athlete who doesn't win every time.
Okay, now, I think what's significant here is this is NCAA.
It is. Right? It is. This NCAA, Division II.
Division II, which is, you got D1 and D2. This is sick. And you have this man who says, his name is Craig. Craig says, I feel like I'm a woman. Right? I feel like I'm a
man.
A female.
I feel like a woman.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, karaoke with Steve Jordahl imitating Shania Twain there. Anyway, he won the 400-meter hurdles Saturday night, and they gave him the
medal.
Whatever you call it, the
medal. First place medal, First place trophy, NCAA champion.
Okay, if this is allowed to continue, this is going to ruin women's sports.
It's already begun. It could be argued.
Right? This is going to ruin women's sports if this is allowed to continue.
My question, Steve, is, was there a protest? I mean, how did the legitimate women, they in this race, in the hurdles, how do they feel about it? Are they even allowed to speak up, or is it – I'm thinking out loud here. I imagine they're censored, so to speak, told – you'll be thrown off the team. You won't be allowed to compete if you complain about this.
It wasn't recorded if they did protest. No one bothered to write it down. And second of all, these are kids who go to colleges on the U.S. campuses. A lot of these are liberal colleges. Either they buy into it. I have a feeling more of them just feel a little bit outgunned when it comes to speaking out about this thing, given the tenor on college campuses. I think athletes who have to compete, women athletes, we have to compete against these men, I'm sure that they feel resentful about it, but they just don't want to say anything.
We shouldn't have to make regulations about this. It should be known or common rule that men compete in men's sports and women compete in men's sports. I mean, that's just basic.
We've done it that way for a couple, a few thousand years.
Right, without having to have regulations in place. But yeah. It's time that we're going to have to, people like the NCAA and others, they won't do it because they're going to have to fight the left. But they should have regulations in place. You're a biological male. that's in your DNA, then you compete in men's sports and vice versa. That's the only way
this
to stop
doesn't
this.
Stop these confused individuals from believing there's something they're not if they want to on
right.
their own
sure.
private time.
Right. Sure.
You know, if this guy yeah. wants to this if Craig wants to believe he's CC, you know, I think that's very sad and tragic, and it's
but nothing is stopping him from living that way.
No,
if that's what he wants.
That's right. He wants to walk around in a dress and call himself CC or whatever. He can do that. But you just can't. You can't enter a sanctioned NCAA sports competition, and you're a man and you run against girls. That's
right.
the whole reason we have separation of sexes down through the ages for athletic competition and other things is for fairness. This is not fair, and I think that the NCAA also ought to step in. See. All our major institutions that make decisions like this have all been co-opted by the left and by the, you know, the NCAA president should be able to get up and say what we just said, okay? Martina Navratilova, the famed tennis player, some would argue the greatest of all times, herself a lesbian, came out a few months ago and said, this is not right. This is not fair, and men should not be able to compete in women's sports. And she was like, you know, became a pariah. Huh?
Oh, wow, yeah.
And she was kicked off certain boards
yeah.
and so forth. This is how these people will treat you if you question. You know, if I – this is how crazy this is. Think about this for a minute. If I told somebody that I am I am Chinese, right? And I identify as a Chinese person, they would look at me and go, no, you're not. You're a Anglo-Saxon male. And I said, no, I'm a Chinese woman. They would say, that guy is crazy. Okay, if I went around calling myself that. Am I not true?
You are, and what's even worse is...
Let me finish my point. My point is...
You're correct.
Okay, so people would say... So my question then would be, if you're the person that would tell me, Tim, you're not a Chinese woman. You're an Anglo-Saxon male. Otherwise known as a, quote, white dude, end quote. then if you're the person that would tell me that... Why then do you tell a man who says he's a woman, you're right, you are a woman, and therefore contributing to his mental disorder or her mental disorder? Because, as I said, they're still free to dress like they want to, but to make people pretend somebody is something that they're not is not fair to anybody, because then there's no standard. There's no objective standard. Go ahead.
It's interesting that someone who claims to be a woman or a man, opposite their born gender, will be believed. But if, say, I was to grow cornrow hair, I would be culturally appropriating. How come we're not gender appropriating? I mean, it's a massive double standard.
Well, what if somebody who's 37 years old goes into goes into Lowe's or Home Depot and says, you know, I would like the senior citizens discount. And the clerk goes, well, show me your ID. And you go, well, my ID doesn't tell you how I identify. And I identify as a 65-year-old. So I want the senior citizens discount because I identify, you know, what's any crazier about that than making people call a man a woman? Walker, you got any answers for me, or I just slam dunked that one?
No, you just slam dunked it. I can't dunk
okay.
it any better.
It was a tomahawk.
Yeah.
A tomahawk dunked that.
We've taken...
All right, Steve just showed me a BBC News about a Dutchman who's 69 years old, he brings lawsuit to lower his age by 20.
He's
69-year-old Dutchman over in Europe. He says, I'm bringing a lawsuit to lower my age by 20 years. Am I
for
right?
For real?
Yeah.
It was 18 November 2018, yeah.
It did work.
He's a positivity trainer. Lost a legal battle to change his age and boost his dating prospects.
Hello.
But this just Hello. Proves if you don't ground yourself in some type of reality, then it's a free for all, yep. which leads to chaos.
And this is a statement, if you don't mind. We live. This is his statement. This is a guy named Emil Rattleband, and his statement is: we live in a time when you can change your name and change your gender. Why can't I change my own age? It's a logical question.
Right. Right. Did he win his case, or is that still pending?
Let me read on further. I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, anyway, what I'll start this conversation is, and this is coming it's here now. It was a Division II national championship, NCAA national championship track meet, and they allowed a man to run who calls himself a woman. And he won. He won the 400-meter hurdles.
By quite a bit.
Saturday night. And what we're saying here is this transgendered movement, but it's part of the LGBTQ movement, and the Equality Act, by the way, which is in Congress right now. It passed in the House. It will not be brought up in the Senate, according to Mitch McConnell, which is good news, but the Equality Act would also be the end of women's sports as we know it, because they would be forced to allow men.
I am told by our intrepid reporter Chris Woodward that the court rejected Mr. Rattleband's request.
Okay. I'd like to know on what basis, because same argument that Craig, who calls himself CC, won the track meet hurdles on Saturday. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, we're delighted to have with us Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham, obviously, is with his dad, Billy Graham, and the Graham family there with the ministry out of North Carolina, but it's international, and with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. And Franklin's also very engaged in the culture and what's happening in our country politically. Call for a day of prayer for the president on June the 2nd, and we've joined him in that effort. And Franklin, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Now, I guess for you, this is Tim, by the way. Franklin, I guess you're in Eastern time zone, so it's good afternoon. Are you traveling now?
I'm in Syracuse, New York. I preach here tonight. We've been going through New England, seven cities, just to take the gospel back to New England. And we're finishing up here in Central New York tonight.
What seven cities?
We've started off in Portland, then we were in Burlington, Vermont, Manchester, New Hampshire, then we were down in Portsmouth of Rhode Island, New Haven, Connecticut, then here in Syracuse. I think I missed one, but anyhow. We've been preaching the gospel.
Talk about your call for prayer for the president on June 2nd.
Well, it is just something that the Lord just put on my heart. No president has ever been attacked the way President Trump has been attacked. And the hatred that Democrats and Republicans have for this man. And I believe that God put him in the presidency. There was no reason he should have won. I think it's just something that God did. And they're trying to destroy him. And I just feel that we should pray as Christians that God would watch over him and protect him, give him wisdom as he makes decisions that affects all of us, but that we should just pray for him and his family. And I've asked churches, I've asked pastors to take the lead in their congregation to pray for him, asking Sunday school teachers to take the lead in Sunday schools to pray for the president. I'm asking for people individually just to pray. Wherever they are, just to get up and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And this Sunday, let's make this a focus just for him, that God would protect him, because if he makes a good decision, that affects all of us in a positive way. If he makes a bad decision, that hurts all of us. So we need to pray that God would give him wisdom, but just cover him and protect him from these enemies that want to destroy him, want to destroy the presidency, and I believe ultimately they want to destroy our country.
Talking to Franklin Graham, joins us from New England. And by the way, this call for prayer on June the 2nd, special day of prayer for the president that Franklin Graham has called for, and over 200 Christian leaders have joined this effort, and I'm one of the signatories. There, we sent out a petition to our folks asking them to support what Franklin Graham was doing here. We had over 66,000 responses in just a couple of days. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of days. So overwhelmingly, people, at least who support us here at American Family Association, also agree with you, Franklin. Hey, Ray, did you have a question for Franklin Graham?
Well, I sure did. Franklin, when you look at the problems that are in America today, and I mean, certainly politically, we see a country deeply divided and so much uncertainty and fear. What gives you hope as you think about the future of this nation in light of all the problems that we're all so aware of?
God gives me a hope. He gives me hope for today, hope for tomorrow. I know that my sins are forgiven. I know that when this world comes to an end, I'm going to be in his presence. Mm. But till then, he's called us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're to tell men and women that God loves them, that Christ, Jesus Christ, came from heaven to this earth on a rescue mission, that he took our sins to the cross. He died, he shed his blood in our place, and God raised him to life. And I want people to know that if they repent, turn from their sins, and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved, and they'll have that hope of eternal life, the same hope that I have. And so we've got a job to do. So I've got plenty of hope. And we're living in a very dark period of world history. It's just almost like every demon in hell has been let loose. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage people to pray. Pray for this country. Pray for our president. And let's pray that God would protect him. And I don't see any way that President Trump can withstand all of these attacks without God intervening and covering him and protecting him.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Franklin Graham. So, again, folks, we're asking you to participate June 2nd for a special day of prayer for President Trump. One question that I know Steve has one. You can stay with us a few more minutes, right, Franklin?
Yeah.
By the way, you're listening to American Family Radio, folks, on our 183 stations across the country and on the internet. Why do you think, Franklin, that you mentioned all the demons of hell? I think that was your expression a few moments ago, and certainly we're a Christian radio network, and we share your belief in the Bible and spiritual warfare. But, you know, President Trump, he doesn't come from our world. He was a celebrity. He was a New York billionaire who lived a playboy lifestyle for most of his life.
Right.
Why do you think that these people on the other side hate him so much? He's not even an evangelical Christian as we are.
Well, he does protect Christians. Andrew Brunson would still be in prison today if it wasn't for Donald Trump. And religious liberty, he stands for religious liberty.
Right.
He's pro-life. And they hate him for this, and they despise him for this, and they want to destroy him. And if you take this Equality Act that just went through Congress, if Hillary had been president, that would have been that she would have signed that. Mm-hmm. That'd come to her desk, and we're just one vote away from losing our nation. And when I say losing, I'm talking about it could take 100 years to get it back. And it would take a major, maybe a nuclear war or something to get people to go back to their knees and begin to turn to God and call upon his name. But we're in a period of history where our leaders don't turn to God. They've turned away from God. They've taken God out of our political life. They've taken God out of schools, education. They're doing everything they can to strip God. And it was God leading the pilgrims, it was God leading our forefathers that built this nation to be the greatest nation on the face of this earth, and now we have politicians that are trying to strip all that away and destroy our country. And that's why we need to pray. And this prayer is urgent. This isn't just, oh, if you got time, how about muttering a prayer? Mm-hmm. This prayer is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to pray for him that God would right. Do His will and His purpose.
Right.
Franklin, Steve Jordahl here. You have occasion or privilege to counsel with the president, and I don't know if, without betraying any confidences, can you give us a sense of where you'd gauge his spiritual journey as he goes? I know he has said that he is very appreciative of prayers like this.
No question. He's very appreciative of prayers like this. He welcomes Christians in his circle, inner circle. So many of his cabinet members are evangelicals. Vice President Mike Pence. There are many, many Christians in the White House, which gives me great comfort, knowing that they are advising the president and giving him their counsel. Now, he does, no question, has a faith. He believes in God. There's no question in that. He was raised Presbyterian. That's his reference point. That's his background. But he believes God, and he believes in Jesus Christ. So
yeah.
That's where he is now. As far as a person, the depth of their faith and how far they've journeyed, only the Lord knows those things.
Yeah.
But we do have a president who supports what we stand for and what we believe.
Talking to Franklin Graham, joins us from New England. He's on a seven-city swing there, preaching and having events, leading people to Christ. Franklin, I don't know if you remember this or not. You meet so many people, but I was in the White House with you last August for that dinner. You remember
yeah.
that? Okay,
that's right.
So
I remember that, yeah.
you and I had never met personally, but it was in one of those colored rooms, green or blue or one of them. Anyway, with the one with the big with the one with the oval. Window.
It's called the Oval Office.
Well, that's a different part of the building. Anyway, you and I are chatting, and just you and I are chatting, and one of the servants, is that what you call them, bring over some of the hors d'oeuvres, right? And hand me a hors d'oeuvre, and I take it, and Franklin says to me, you know that napkin's cloth, don't you? I think you said cloth or linen or something.
Yeah, huh? It's linen.
Linen. That's cloth, what you said. Right. You said to me, you know that napkin's linen, don't you? And I was like, you're pulling my leg. Uh-huh. You know, I thought you were fixing to say something fun. You know.
No, I think I told you to take it with you.
You did, and I did. It's at my house. It's at my house.
But you had Franklin not told you that, it probably would have been in the trash,
never to be washed again. But I would have probably. Yeah. But that was amazing. The White House napkins are made of linen. Anyway,
yep, they sure are.
All right. Well, listen, Franklin. Thank you so much, brother, for your leadership in this effort. And I know our listeners will join you for a special prayer. Special prayer for the president on June the 2nd, which is Sunday.
Yes, sir.
God bless your efforts.
Thank you.
Okay.
God
bye-bye.
Bless you. Thank you, guys. Bye.
He did remember.
He did.
Right?
And he told you to take it home, and you did.
He did. I put it in my pocket. I don't. That's not stealing, is it?
It's
the people's house.
I know you've been to the White House a couple times.
Yeah.
Briefly. Is it pretty surreal, the fact that you're walking into the White House?
Oh, last August when I went?
Yeah.
It was. That was the first time. It was basically a state dinner.
Right.
And the president, the first lady, they opened the doors. I'll tell this more again later. I've told it before, but they opened the doors, and I'm at the first table that they're coming by. So I'm looking down the hall at the White House, and here comes President Trump and Melania, and he shakes my hand. I'm like the second person he shakes hand, and he walks in for this state dinner with Christian leaders from all over the country and some from other parts of the world. It was surreal. It was a blessing.
Yeah.
It was a blessing. Thank you, Ray.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
A pleasure.
Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Folks, appreciate you listening. Hey, Trivia Friday's tomorrow, so join us back here for then. We'll see you then.